France and Germany are leading the European opposition to U.S. plans to invade Iraq. Tensions with those longtime allies are high. An article in the current issue of The New Yorker magazine reminds readers there is nothing new about animosity, especially cultural animosity, between the old and new worlds. NPR's special correspondent Susan Stamberg reports.
The article is called The Unloved American. Columbia University professor Simon Schama examines reactions of 19th century European visitors to America. Schama finds this nation has never been very popular with Europe. Professor Schama, in the late 1800s, you tell us that the British poet and writer Rudyard Kipling liked American girls. He wrote that they looked you between the brows with unabashed eyes.
Well, that's true, isn't it?
Yes, but he didn't like what he felt to be a constant pressure to assure Americans that they were unique, that they were the best, that they were incomparable.
That's quite true. And in fact, commentators really all through the 19th century, even when they were very proud of their own countries, the Brits especially, what a surprise the French were, they were astonished that it should be said out loud all the time. Americans' sort of undimmed pleasure in sort of beating their chests and saying, poor you, and what a pity it is you still live in that miserable, decrepit old Europe. This just simply got on visitors' nerves. They were embarrassed, but also I think they were made a bit uneasy, and a sneaky bit of them thought, well, it might even be true, actually.
And they also saw us as immature, culturally and morally immature, very naive, and we had terrible table manners.
Yes, the Europeans in the 1800s had a sense in which manners maketh nations as well as men. Mm. And the best thing you could do if you're really proud of your country was not to show it off too noisily. And the way you comported yourself. Now, at dinner, the critical thing was to make elegant conversation. It showed you cared about other people. But they thought the Americans dined in silence, ate very, very fast, and the only noises you could hear were slurp, slurp, grump, grump, scratch of the fork, and a lot of coughing because people smoked too many cigars, and a huge amount of spitting. What the Europeans said, well, all America cares about is it's sort of product-driven. What's the point of eating? The point of eating is to get energy and get on with work. So you did it just as fast as you possibly could.
Okay, let's cut now to the 20th century. Now, in that century, Americans helped Europe in two world wars and nonetheless were seen by Europeans as sanctimonious. The quote is, dressing the business of power in the garb of piety.
Yes. All through the 200 years, Europeans have not liked being preached at by America. America begins with a rejection of European history. We are remaking the world. We're not interested in your old stories. And Europe's old stories were all about tragedy and death and disaster. Mm. America's natural demeanor has been optimistic. We're going to do it all right, and we're going to do it all anew. So, in fact, all the great British powers, all the imperial powers, were, of course, grateful to these kind of corn-fed, strapping doughboys in World War I for coming to their rescue, and indeed to countless sacrifices of American lives in World War II. But at the same time, they were resentful of it as well. They didn't like being dependent on a culture which they thought was unsophisticated, didn't understand the wounds and wisdom of old Europe. In fact, at their most ungenerous, Europeans even suspected of America of prolonging both the First and Second World War, the better to dominate the peace afterwards.
But there had to be a thread of jealousy underneath all of that criticism.
Yes, there is a thread of jealousy. I mean, here, after all, was something which was a huge surprise. Both Britain and France, the quarreling godparents of America, treated America as a child. And they thought, well, this is all very sweet, all very nice, all is liberty and the pursuit of happiness, but it's basically always going to be a little provincial country. It's always talked about as provincial. And then guess what? A damn great, huge continent with the biggest economy ever seen in the annals of man opened up. And at that moment, a kind of shudder of terror and dismay, this little boy country is growing into the most enormous giant that anyone had ever seen.
And you tell us, too, that there was a certain hypocrisy seen by Europeans looking at America, that we sort of coated some of our moral claims and our idealism, used it as a cover-up for really rampant self-interest.
Right. Well, Europeans like to say that the only church America really cares about is the Church of the Almighty Dollar. But just count how many of us British expatriates have done very nicely, thank you, coming to the United States. As a lot of the people who have written very brilliantly about this have said, many of the anti-American arguments are very inconsistent. On the one hand, Europeans like to criticize America for being dizzily idealistic and always dressing up power in, as I say, the dress of moral argument. On the other hand, they always say, well, Americans are all only really out for themselves. Aggressive, bare-knuckle individualism is what actually counts. And the answer about America, of course, is America's capable of both. But right now, it's the smell of sanctity, which is getting right up the noses of my European friends and brothers.
Thank you so much, Simon Schama. His article, The Unloved American, subtitled Two Centuries of Alienating Europe, appears in the current issue of The New Yorker. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.